Not even recording. There we go. Now I'm recording. You missed the first 5 minutes of it. Anyway, this is the Catholic Source Book, and it goes through issues and things that are found in the Catechism of the official Catholic Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church. The Catechism is, of course, what you have to believe. And if you don't believe, they couldn't care less. If you never read a Bible in your life as a Catholic, in fact, they would rather you not read the Bible. Now, if there is any reading that they give you, it's selected places of the scripture that they say, now read this and read this, and then read the catechism on this, or read Saint Eliot's whatever thing on that. And but they definitely don't want you just sitting down with, especially, a King James Bible and reading it. That's definitely on the naughty list. You're not supposed to do that. I'm looking for, I've got my hand stuck here in the area of Mary, because, and I am going to come out with this on the Watchman broadcast, but there are titles that the Catholic Church ascribes to Mary that are just downright blasphemy. I mean, it's the same as all Catholics calling Il Papa the Holy Father, Santa Padre. You're not supposed to do that. Jesus used that phrase one time in the scriptures, one time, and only of his Heavenly Father. So when a man is called Santa Padre, Holy Father, that is blasphemy. Man is not God. Man is not God. Man will never be God. Certainly never be Holy Father. Let's see here, page 74. Oh, I was almost there. Just an illustration of the how they regard the Ten Commandments. Now, this is from their book, Catholic Source Book, and it's based on, it's a teaching on the Catechism. Let's see here. Yeah, good. I don't even. Okay. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to read to you the Ten Commandments as given in the Catechism. And here's what they say. The division and numbering of the commandments have varied in the course of history. No, they haven't. There has always been, in God's Word, there has always been a precise numbering of the commandments. And I know why they're saying this. Because in the Catechism, they've omitted one. And they're not going to say that. But they've omitted one. So they say, the division and numbering of the commandments have varied in the course of history. The Catechism of the Catholic Church follows the division established by Saint Augustine. Who was Saint Augustine? Augustine. Oh, I used to know this. Let's see if I can look him up real quick. Saint Augustine. He wrote a book called The City of God. That's about, yeah, Augustine of Hippo is his name. He was, lived from 354 to 430 AD, was a theologian and philosopher, bishop of Hippo Regius in Numidia, Roman North Africa. His writings influenced the development of Western philosophy and Western Christianity. No, they did not, not us. And he is viewed as one of the most important church fathers of the Latin church. In the patristic period, his many important works include The City of God, On Christian Doctrine, and Confessions. So, one man takes out one commandment. One man does that. And for that, billions of people plunge into hell and are caused to sin in the face of God by removing this one commandment. Here, so here's the word of God. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, you'll find the exact same list of the Ten Commandments. You would figure, well, if there was a change in there, maybe, you know, maybe in the later books of the Bible. No, 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 no change. Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first one. The second one is, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God is saying that if you have statues, idols, graven images, you hate me. You don't love me. You hate me. I'm visiting the iniquity of you down to your third and fourth generation because you hate me. And you won't worship me. You'll worship some stupid piece of wood, some stupid rock like gold or ceramic or stone or marble or whatever. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So you come into church here at Bethel. There's no genuflecting. There's no bowing. There's no, over here is Joseph. And by the way, I've talked about this just a couple of times. And I may make this part of the Watchman, but I'm not sure yet. I was up several years ago in downtown St. Louis. There is a certain area next to St. Louis University's SLU. They call it SLU. St. Louis University is a Jesuit university, Jesuit college. And of such, there is a Jesuit office there, right next to the cathedral that they have on campus. And what's interesting to me about that whole area is that you have this massive Jesuit cathedral. Right across the street, you have the offices of the Jesuits there in St. Louis, and I mean right next to it, right next door is the Scottish Rite Masonic Temple. And that just like drew my attention. So I was like, you know, trying to see connections between them. And I'm taking pictures of and video of the front of this Catholic cathedral, this Jesuit cathedral. And I noticed that on the front, that a statue of Joseph on one side, had a statue of Mary on the other, and in the middle they had a statue of Christ. And I'm just looking at that and I'm going, I never noticed that before. Turns out that's rules. That's canon law. Is that it cannot be designated as a Catholic church unless there is a statue of what they call the Holy Family. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And my mind, you know, I'm looking at this Scottish temple of masonry, and I'm like, is that like sons of God, daughters of men, and what comes of them? And I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. You look at the maybe not on the outside of a Catholic church, but definitely 100% in that church or on that church somewhere is the three amigos, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. That's why people say that, especially Italians. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, what's wrong with you? That's where it comes from, is that imagery of sons of God, daughters of Ben, hybrid. Anyway, back to the ranch here. You don't have a right to take a commandment out of God's list. This is not God's direct revelation to a man named Saint Augustine the Hippo. That's not what it is. That's what they want you to think. They want you to think that St. Augustine was such a holy, godly, God-fearing, Bible-loving saint that God gave him direct revelation to exclude the second commandment and renumerate them. So let me read that again. The division and numbering of the commandments have varied in the course of history. Not according to the Bible, they haven't. The Catechism of the Catholic Church follows the division established by St. Augustine, which has become the Catholic and, get ready for this one, the Catholic and Lutheran tradition. For those of you who are or former Lutherans or have family members who are or former Lutherans, ask them what the second commandment is. Ask them. Ask your family members. Tell me what the second commandment is. And if they come up with, let me read to you the Catechism's revised list of commandments. The first three concern love of God, and the remaining seven, love of neighbor. But one, two, three, and four deal with loving God. The fifth one is a transitional one in loving your father and your mother, which apply both earthly and heavenly, and then dealing with your neighbor. But here's their list. Number one, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not have strange gods before me. That's not what he said. I didn't want to hurt the microphone. He didn't say you shall not have strange gods. He said you shall have no other gods before me. And whenever you or a family member, or a Lutheran, or I don't care who else it is, whenever they pray to or through anyone other than Jesus Christ, they are sinning. It is a sin. In fact, I think God said that. I think, if I remember right, that God said that He would make their, let's see here. No. Oh, yeah. Psalm 109:7. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let me put it on the screen for you. Psalm 109:7. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. When you pray, I'll tell you what I'll do. Is let me move this guy over here a little bit, and then let's see here, bring that to the front maybe, if I can. Yeah, there we go. And we do that. Oh, look at the change that I've made. That's better. But that's what the Bible says. And let me put, well, I got this here. I'll just go ahead and put, I'll put Deuteronomy 5. That's the second list of the Ten Commandments. Starting in verse 6. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. No, he didn't say strange gods. He said none. Zero. That's what that lady in Dallas told me. Was, yeah, I know our priest said we're not supposed to pray to strange gods. He didn't tell you the truth. He lied to you. He lied to you. He did not want you to know what it was that God said. He wants you to know what St. Augustine said and what the Pope said and what Mary may have said somewhere, but he did not want you to know what God said. Now, anybody who's wearing religious cloth, who's trying to hide the Word of God from you and not let you see it and not let you believe it on your own, that guy's not your friend. He has become the enemy of your soul, number one, and he's become the enemy of God. Now, second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But that's not the second commandment. The second commandment is, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. That would include La Maria. That would include La Petra. That would include Santa Johanna, John. That would include St. George, St. Christopher, St. Jude, St. Ignatius, Saints Alive. I don't know. There's, I don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands. That would include St. John Paul II. How he got to be a saint, I have no idea. St. Mother Teresa. That is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. See, when they say, oh, we don't worship Mary, we venerate her, okay? So in the veneration of Mary, do you bow down? Do you bow down? And if you bow down, you just broke the commandment that out of St. Augustine's list and the catechism, is missing. Now, why is it, do you suppose, that a church that is full of statues, I mean full of statues, from the outside to the inside, it's full of statues, why is it that that particular church would eliminate the second commandment? Okay? I mean, you got to think about it. I don't know who's calling me or why, but anyway. Third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Well, that's not all it says. Okay? It's not all it says. What it says is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Let's see, is that it? You shall take the Lord. Okay. Oh, no, the fourth command. I'm sorry, we're messed up here. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now, I'll be honest with you. I am in agreement with the Bible on this one. I have heard that in times past they referred to Sunday as the Christian Sabbath, which is why generally we don't generally start the work week until Monday. We work Monday through Friday. And then we have the Jewish Sabbath and the Christian Sabbath, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think that's made clear in the scriptures. I don't see any place in the New Testament where any of the apostles, the church elders, you know, they met in Acts 15. To decide, you know, do the Gentiles even have to keep the law like the Jews do, be circumcised and all that stuff? Do they have to do that in order to be saved? And it was a council of people together. It wasn't one person. It wasn't a pope. Wasn't Peter. They all decided together that we'll write unto the Gentiles and we'll say to them that, you know, this is how it's going to be, that we're saved by grace through faith and not of keeping the law. We didn't keep the law. We're Jews. We didn't keep the law. So why should we make them keep the law? And I don't see any counsel in the New Testament. I don't see any revelation to any of the apostles, Paul, Peter, James, John, I don't see where they're calling Sunday a Sabbath. So I don't agree with that. Now, somebody might have a better explanation for me, but I had heard, you know, Sunday's the Christian Sabbath, and you know, we were always taught you don't work on Sunday. Well, I understand that, but do we have a law that says that we absolutely must go to church on Sunday? No. And the same argument I give to the Sabbath keepers who insist that somewhere in the Bible, God demanded that we can only go to church on Saturday, which is not there either. They didn't get it from the Bible. They got it from Ellen White, who heard it from angels. There you go. That's the angel thing that Paul was talking about in Galatians, about delivering another gospel. Because the Seventh-day Adventist people, and that's another group of people in Kenya that don't like me very much, they're going to, I don't know if they're going to be there or not, but anyway, they insist that God said, go to church on Saturday only. And if you go to church on Sunday, that is the mark of the beast and you're not a Christian, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's a different gospel. Delivered by an angel to Ellen White. She wrote about it. Crazy woman. Since when, ladies, don't be offended. Since when did God make any of the women an apostle? When? He didn't. Out of the 40 authors of the Bible, all of them were men. That's the truth. That was God that decided that. I didn't decide it. It's probably good that I didn't, because I probably would have messed it up. But anyway, he didn't just say, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. He specifically, see, that's where we get into a problem here. It was the Catholic Church that altered the Sabbath from the seventh day, and the word Sabbath means seven. They moved the Sabbath day from the seventh day to Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, does that mean that we're sinning by, and the Seventh-day Adventists love to do this. They say, yeah, you go to church on Sunday, where they worship the sun god. Uh-huh, you're worshiping the sun god on Sunday. And I'm going, well, let's see, you go to church on Saturn's day. What does that say about you? None of those arguments where if you're going to impress me, if you're going to change my mind about something, read it word for word from the Bible. And then don't tell me it means something that I can't read for myself what it means. That was the thing about especially the New Testament. That Paul said we use plainness of speech. So if the Bible says it, it means exactly what it says. Then they have honor your father and mother, you shall not kill. That's the fifth commandment. Sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Seventh, you shall not steal. Eight, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now here we go. Here's how we get 10 commandments back, is that they've taken the 10th commandment. Let's go down here to the 10th commandment. Okay. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, nor shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So what they did was they took the tenth commandment, divided it into two types of coveting. Nine is, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Well, that's kind of covered in the sixth commandment. But, you know, then you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. So there's only one type of adultery, but there's two types of coveting. According to St. Augustine, who altered God's word. Now, here's the question. Will we expect to find St. Augustine in heaven? If he took words out of the Bible, if he took, and I'm not just talking about he took a letter A out of something, if he took a whole commandment out of the Bible, then no way will he be found unless he repented. And history doesn't bear that out or whatever. I don't know about it. But except he repent. I mean, I was guilty of using a NIV years ago. And, boy, God had mercy on me. I know that. But it just didn't, you know, I'm glad God changed me. You just can't take God's word, take stuff out of it, and even if you just skip over these two copies of the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, you are hard-pressed to read the rest of the Old Testament and not find anywhere in there where God is furious at Israel because they went ahead, went after other gods, made statues to them, made images to them. I mean, he spends all kinds of Bible real estate all throughout the prophets, throughout the stories of the kings about how they set an image here and they set a false image there. He took Ezekiel through the temple, and he saw all the images and the portraits that were in there. He tells Jeremiah, learn not the way of the heathen, for they go and they cut a tree down, and then the carpenter takes it and he nails it down, and they carve out a statue, and they deck it with gold, and make it look like some god, but all it was a stick of wood. It was a tree in the forest, for crying out loud. How can you expect that to be your god? That god was made with hands. And God is furious at Israel for doing that. And he sends the 10 northern tribes up into Assyria, gone for a long time, sends Judah and Benjamin into Babylon for 70 years because of that. How can you ignore the whole of the Old Testament when most of it is about Israel's idolatry? That was like their number one issue, was that they went and served other gods, and they bowed to images, and they burnt incense to these images, to the queen of, here we go, to the queen of heaven. So, in this chapter, in this book called Saints and Heroes, veneration honors saintly lives. It's way beyond that. As the church celebrates the mystery of Christ throughout the liturgical year, she honors especially Mary, the mother of God. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to search for that phrase in our Bible. Well, it's not there. It's not there. It doesn't exist, and it's not there. So they say, now I think there's an explanation for this somewhere. Somebody's trying to get my attention. I don't know where my phone is. Here it is. Let me see what's going on. Okay, anyway. I just seem to be getting a lot of texts, and most people should know that I'm online. Anyway, they say veneration. Now, let's do this. Let's type in, let me open this back up again. Boy, I tell you what, that is all messed up. How did that get so messed up anyway? I don't know. I don't know how it got so messed up. Let me try to fix it some more so you can see the whole of the Bible. Yeah, that's a little better, maybe. Okay, and maybe, there we go. Some down on the bottom there. And, all right, now we just need to make it. There we go. Maybe that's better. Aha, all right. So let's do this. Venerate. The definition, to regard with respect and reverence, to revere. We venerate parents and elders. We venerate men consecrated to sacred offices. We venerate old age or gray hairs. We venerate or ought to venerate the gospel and its precepts. And that's what, what's his name? Webster says about it. Now, let's go to my favorite etymology, Etym Online, and we'll type in, we know it's going to be Latin. A lot of English words are based in Latin, and you can buy all these shirts if you want to, and I don't care. Venerate, back formation from veneration, or else from Latin veneratus, past part of simple blah blah, to reverence, worship. Worship. From Venus, beauty, love, desire. It is the word, believe it or not, the word venereal disease is from this aspect of venerous, beauty, love, desire. You get that part of it, okay? But veneration, if we go back, reverence, profoundest respect, to worship, to revere. Okay, so we're splitting hairs on words is what we're doing. Okay, when it comes to do we venerate or do we worship? Now, the thing that God put in His Word was the particular actions, not necessarily the state of their heart. It was their actions and their deeds. When He said, number one, ye shall not make the images, didn't say anything about it's okay to make them as long as you don't actually believe that that's your God. He didn't say that. He said, don't even make them. And then He said, don't bow down to them. Two actions that are completely left out of the Catholic argument. They say that God just don't want us making images of false gods. Well, Mary is a false god. That's just an image that God wants us to have in our heart so that when we pray to Mary, we have an image of her in our heart to pray to. It just puts us in mind. Now, I have been praying to God since the earliest ages I can remember. Seriously. I don't know why or how. The first church I ever remember going to, I must have been maybe 4 years old, something like that. That was before we moved here to the Festus area. We were living in north of here, in a town called Arnold, Missouri. But Mom was taking us to a little Baptist church just not a mile from our house. But it's like I've always had a knowledge of God in my heart. And from a very early age, I can remember saying little prayers to God at night. I didn't need a statue. I didn't need a painting or portrait or a picture. I didn't need to stare at something and gaze at it and then go into a trance so I could. I didn't need any of that. I just talked to God. Okay? The way a little boy would. Growing up, we didn't have images, didn't have statues, none of that. But they say, well, that just gives us something to look at. Well, yeah, baloney. That's a lie. God specifically excluded the actions when he said, don't make the image and don't bow to the image. And so what does the Vatican do? What does the Catholic Church do? Both of them. But they want you to think that God says that's okay because St. Augustine took it out of the Bible. And that is another issue then with the entirety of Catholicism, which I'm assuming would also include the Russian Orthodox and any other group, schism, denomination, church that disregards what God plainly said and then goes ahead and allows images, statues that are bowed to. I've seen it happen in a Lutheran church. I watched it and I went, that is not right. God says and it's abomination. So what the Catholic Church did was they divided their veneration into three different subjects. Veneration given to saints is called dulia. Higher veneration given to Mary is called hyperdulia. Supreme worship due to God is called latria. I bet it involves the exact same bowing. I bet it does. The Acta Sanctorum is the monumental collection of saints' lives initiated by the Bollandists, a group named after the 17th century Jesuit Jean Bolland. Arranged according to the liturgical calendar, it consists now of almost 70 volumes and is growing. The Lives of the Saints. Now, let's see here. Devotion to Mary. And again, I'm going to hold back on what I already have in my notes for the next Watchmen, and I'm going to try to get it recorded as soon as possible. Because there are names ascribed to Mary that just, I blow a gasket just saying it, just thinking about it. It infuriates me because I know what the Bible says about Mary. I know that she was a chosen vessel of God. I believe Mary to have been of a pure heart. But to say that Mary's conception, see that the term Immaculate Conception, I always thought that referred to Christ. It doesn't. It refers to Mary. Mary's conception, they believe that she was born without original sin. She was born with no inclination to sin. She could not be tempted to sin. She could not be deceived in any way. She could not in any way lust or be drawn to a man and desire to be with that man under any circumstances, which is why they have to lie to retain her perpetual virginity. That's another of the lies that they perpetrate, even though the Bible specifically, in no uncertain terms, refers to Jesus' brothers and sisters, his family, from Joseph. Anyway, she is called the Blessed Mother. That's from the Catechism. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay, that's fine. That's accurate. She is the mother of Jesus. She is given a natural motherhood, and then, here we go, a divine motherhood. Now, they cite two sources for that. Number one, when Elizabeth said of Mary, the mother of my Lord. Now, that was true. But then, 400 years later, 400 years later, which means that Jesus has died, ascended into heaven, Paul is dead, Peter's dead, John is dead. John was the last of the disciples that we are aware of, died somewhere around AD 93, something like that. Like 300 years after John is off the scene, the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD said, they used the Greek word Theotokos, Mary, the mother of God. Now, there are, and I don't have them all in front of me, there are ancient God myths and legends about various gods, where in the primal beginning, before the earth was, there was a primordial god and a primordial goddess. And they gave birth to the various gods that we now see. I think that that's where that comes from. because, like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there is no new thing under the sun. The Catholic Church, in my opinion, is a regurgitation of ancient myths, ancient God stories, where they took these blasphemous, false stories and myths about the different gods and melded them into Christianity. It's like what the Jews did with Jehovah God. They built a calf, a golden calf in the wilderness, and said, "This is the Lord. This is Him." And God said, "Oh, you are so going to eat that. You're going to swallow that. I'm going to make sure that is coming out in your dung." And Moses ground that calf to powder, made him drink it. Yeah. So anyway, to me, that's where that comes from. It doesn't come from the Bible anywhere. There is never a mention. It's like saying that Jesus wasn't God until he was born of Mary. Or else you have to believe that Mary was pre-existent before the creation to give birth to Jesus before the world was. Either way, it is blasphemy to ascribe the phrase Mater Dei, Mother of God, to Mary. She was not the mother of his divinity. She was the mother of his humanity. Big difference. Big difference. God and God alone was the progenitor of the divinity of Christ. Mary had nothing to do with it. But then they ascribe spiritual motherhood by calling her Mary, the mother of the church. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, she didn't birth the church. She didn't give birth to the church. She was there. Let's go to the book of Acts. And let's see here. Where is Mary at? Here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. Let me put that up on the screen. Which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. This was not Judas Iscariot. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of... Note, they could have called her the mother of God here, but they didn't. The mother of Jesus. And, here we go, with his brethren. With his brethren. Who would that be? That would be the brothers of Jesus Christ. Now, they also ascribe her, Mary the Virgin Mother, which the scriptures are true when Mary said, "How can this be, since seeing I am a virgin?" And the angel Gabriel telling her that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and so on. Then listen to this one now. Let's see here. Let's go to Mark, because they're going to talk about her perpetual virginity. Mark chapter 3, what is verse 31? Yeah. Here, right here, there came then his brethren and his mother. Now, his mother is Mary. His brethren, in the sentence that it's in, are also of his mother. But here's what they say. Mary, ever virgin, and this is established by way of the catechism, by the tradition of the church fathers, by the popes, by the various saints or whoever, but not in scripture. Mary, ever virgin, according to an Old Testament expression, brothers means close relatives. The Catholic Church does not regard the phrase brothers of the Lord as referring to other children of Mary. Well, why not? Because that's what it says. There came then his brethren and his mother. They also mention, let's see here, Mark 31 through, Mark 31 through 35. Mark chapter 3, verse 31 through 35. And then Mark 6, 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? Now, come on. You invent this property of Mary, that she was without original sin, and that after she gave birth to Christ, even though she was the wife of Joseph, who had authority over her. Oh, I think that's it right there. Joseph would have had authority over her and gave her, let's see here, we got Jesus, we've got James, Joseph, Judah, Simon. You got five boys and some sisters. At least two. That would be plural. So at least seven children from Mary. And you're saying that even though the Bible plainly, let me read this again. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah and Simeon, and are not his sisters here with us? And that's why they were offended. And yet, they say, it doesn't mean that. James and Joseph, brothers of Jesus, are in fact sons of another Mary, who was a disciple of Christ. I can't take it. Other names of Mary, Our Lady of Sorrow, and see that the phrase of Lady. Lady is a royalty term. You know, we use it as Americans. We say, hey, look at that lady over there. You know, or hey, how's your old lady doing? Or, you know, lady, get out of my way. Lady, what are you doing? Lady, are you crazy? We use it that way. But in royalty terms, the term lady was ascribed to someone on the same level as a lord. Lady is the female version of the word Lord. You see what I'm getting at? This is why they ascribe her the title of Lady. Even though the Bible at no time ascribes Mary the title of Lady, much less Lady of this or Lady of that, Our Lady of Sorrow. The one of the Catholic churches here in Festus, they have a Catholic school there, and it was not too far from our high school. And, I mean, we always heard, well, it was called an Our Ladies. Our Ladies, that's what we always said. They go over, you know, so-and-so? No, they go over to Our Ladies. And but it's Our Lady of something. And that term is given to her basically because they believe that she has female lordship over God's creation. In fact, one of her titles is Mother of Creation. I was going to say this one. Mother of the Creator. Now, again, you either have to believe that Jesus did not become God until he was born of Mary, who gave him birth, thus being the mother of God, or that Mary was pre-existent before the creation, and that she brought Jesus into Godship or creation or whatever. But in ascribing Mary this title of Mother of God, you're basically saying that God had an origin. Now, I can understand why the Mormons don't have a problem with that one, because they believe that our God, Elohim, had a beginning just like we do. Because Mormons believe that Elohim was a man on a planet called Kolob, and he was a faithful man and had many wives and lots of children, and he was elevated, him and his wives, to the celestial kingdom, and then that he was assigned his own planet, Earth, and he populated that planet. And on so, and when Mormons, who are married and remain married, the state of Utah has a very high divorce rate, very high. And it's generally because either the man or the woman doesn't want to be a Mormon anymore. So that forces whoever's left in the marriage to divorce them and say, I can't go to heaven unless my spouse is a devout Mormon. So they ditch whoever and marry somebody else. Or they just join the fundamental Latter-day Saints cult and they're married when they're 12 years old. Sick people. But anyway, that the Mormons don't have a problem with that. They shouldn't have a problem with that. Now, let me finish with this here. Mary's assumption into heaven had been formally celebrated in all Christian countries from the beginning of the Middle Ages up to the Reformation, and is consistent with the faith of the church from the beginning. No, it's not. No, it's not. In one of his sermons, St. John Damascene, who lived or died around the year 749, so 700 years later, they decided this, expressed the general belief of all Christianity, your sacred and happy soul, as nature will have it, was separated in death from your most blessed and immaculate body. And although the body was duly interred, it did not remain in the state of death, neither was it dissolved by decay. That's the same thing that the Bible said about Jesus, that his body did not see corruption. Your most pure and sinless body was not left on earth, but you were transferred to your heavenly throne, O Lady, Queen, and Mother of God in truth. Again, 700 years later, some Saint John Damascene, John of Damascus, preached that or wrote that. The belief has become interwoven with legend, the most famous of which comes from an interpolated passage that is added by an unknown author in the sermons of St. John Damascene. It tells of a request to the Bishop of Jerusalem at the Council of Chalcedon by the East Roman Emperor Marcion, he was a heretic, to have the relics of Mary brought to Constantinople. The bishop reportedly answered that Blessed Mary was with the apostles when she died, but when St. Thomas later asked that her tomb be opened, it was found to be empty. It has been thus known since the time of the apostles that Mary's body was assumed into heaven. No, it wasn't. There is no record of that whatsoever. That was made up. Made up. You know, here's my problem. John, the Apostle John, gave us a really good description of heaven and the throne of God here in John chapter 4. He mentions the four living creatures. He mentions the 24 elders. He mentions them and what they say. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He mentions all of that. He mentions in Revelation 5, the scene where God's got a book in his right hand and who alone is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And nobody is worthy except the Lamb. And then later, we have different scenes in heaven going all the way to the end of time. And there is not one single mention of Mary anywhere in the entire book of Revelation. Not one. It just seems like if she was there in that exalted queen, having her own throne position where she is at the right hand of Christ, giving him all of these burdens and cares that everybody's casting on her, surely there would have been a mention of it somewhere in the Bible. Even Job, one of the first books written of the Bible, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And on the earth, let me look that up. I got to read that right here. I got to get this one right. Look here. For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Not her. From the earliest mention to the last words of the Bible, you'll not find any evidence, not one word, that Mary's the mother of God, that Mary's the queen of heaven, that Mary's the mother of the creator, the mother of the creation, the mother of the church. You're not going to find that anywhere. And it is heresy, blasphemy, and just downright insulting to the work, the love, the death, and the blood of Jesus Christ and his holy name to add his mother or any other into that mix. It's just not right. So be mad at me, whatever. You want to prove it to me, read it to me in the Bible, and I'll believe it. All right? Keep us in your prayers, please. Got a pretty heavy schedule coming up. And keep us in your prayers. Okay? We'll see you tomorrow night, Wednesday night service. And then we'll see you Sunday. I'm going to try to get some more recording done this week. Various reasons.